If you're not confident in spinning your airplane, how do you stay proficient in slow flight? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot. The new edition, the May edition, is out as of yesterday at overtheairwaves.com. Bob also operates a now Part 141 flight school called Bob Miller Flight Training Incorporated at the Buffalo Lancaster Airport in Western New York. We're here today to talk about something which sadly we have to keep talking about because it happens 50 or so times a year, about once a week, and that is stall spin accidents. And Bob, thanks for joining us today.
Well, Paul, I'm happy to be with you today.
Let's start out by talking, Bob, about the specific accident that prompted this article in the current edition of Over the Airwaves.
Very, very sadly, we lost another local pilot in a fatal crash in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, just last week. It involved what appears to be a stall spin accident just short of the runway. The pilot was flying his Cirrus SR-22 with a passenger and reported to ATC that he needed to do a 360-degree turn in order to lose altitude just short of the runway. And in the execution of that turn, which was in near perfect weather, by the way, he apparently lost it. The airplane entered a stall spin and crashed just 29 feet short of the runway, which again brings up that gnawing sense of frustration as to why do we continue to see these stall spin accidents happening.
Bob, you point out in your article that there may be something particular in these circumstances, specifically regarding the SR-22 and the way it's been brought to market, that maybe discourages people from taking it right up to the edge of a stall in routine training and practice. Talk about your long-running concern in that regard.
Well, first of all, the Cirrus SR-22 is a very, very fine flying machine. I've got many, many hours flying in that airplane. But there's been one gnawing concern, too, that I've had with it, and that is Cirrus Design, for whatever reason, elected to use the ballistic recovery system, the parachute, to satisfy the FAA's spin certification requirement. Now, that's fine. I also know from talking with factory trainers and talking with people over at the Cirrus Owners and Pilots Association that the airplane is a delightful airplane to fly and is very easy to recover from a spin scenario. But nonetheless, there are a group of pilots out there who never went through the Cirrus factory training program, who are not members of the Cirrus Owners and Pilots Association, who also know that this airplane, for one reason or another, did not go through spin certification. And they therefore believe that in the unlikely event that the airplane does enter a spin scenario, that they would have to pull the chute in order to recover. With that reality in their mind, they ask themselves, why should I then come close to placing this airplane in that kind of a flight condition, slow flight, on the edge of a stall for recurrent training purposes? Why should I put myself at risk and my airplane at risk for doing that? Consequently, Paul, we have a large cohort of pilots, specifically Cirrus pilots, who simply may be deliberately avoiding slow flight or operating that aircraft at minimal controllable airspeed and to engage in any kind of spin awareness training on a recurrent basis. The outcome of that is we have that same large group of pilots who are simply not doing that. And we can infer that, on the other hand, that pilots who do engage in regular slow flight training, spin awareness training, they are better positioned to avoid that kind of a scenario for real. They engage in the training. Cirrus pilots, again, those that have not taken the factory training, those that are not members of COPA, may not be doing that training. Therefore, I'm asking, are these pilots more susceptible to an untimely spin scenario kind of event that occurred to our friend?
Okay, there's a couple of other facets to this if you're going to go to this premise. One is that if you cannot legally intentionally enter a spin, in any particular aircraft, whether it's this one or any number of LSAs that, you know, that can't legally be used that way. What kind of training can you get that is going to prepare you for this type of airplane?
In this airplane or in any aircraft that's not certified for spins, you can take that airplane through a slow flight regime at minimum controllable airspace speed. You can also bring that airplane up into a stall and in the stall begin to approach what might look like a spin, allowing the nose to drop, recovering before the first quarter turn of that potential spin, and be well within the rule. You haven't intentionally spun the airplane, but you brought the airplane right to the edge. And we do this regularly in our 172s in the normal category, not in the utility category, which is where we need to be to do actual spins. But we'll take that airplane right up into a full stall break. We will allow it, or we will intentionally yaw the airplane so that one wing drops out from the other, and then we make an immediate recovery again before the first quarter turn of that turning stall. That's what we call spin awareness training, and that provides our students with a real solid sense of what a spin is going to look like in just about two more seconds. Will we do that? Would I do that in a Cirrus? Frankly, at this point, I would not be comfortable doing that. I've never been taken through that kind of training. I've never experienced it, and I know in the back of my mind the FAA has never certified the airplane in that regime if it gets into a full spin. And therefore, I'm not comfortable doing it. And if I'm not comfortable doing it, again, I go back to my earlier premise, I think there may be a large number of Cirrus pilots who simply avoid any kind of flight at slow flight or close to something that might look like a stall and a spin.
Bob, let's hold that comment for a moment. I have a follow-up after the break. Back for more with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Platt, talking with CFI Bob Miller about airplanes in which practicing spin recovery is taboo and the need to find some way to stay proficient in slow flight. Bob, you talked a moment ago about a lack of comfort as a pilot practicing slow flight in an airplane with unknown spin recovery capability. This seems like it would be an issue for flight instructors, too. If you go in for a flight review in an aircraft with unknown behavior and a spin, your flight instructor may be hesitant to take you to the edge in slow flight, especially when it's not his airplane.
That's exactly right. And I use myself as the common man. I think I'm fairly typical. I don't describe any great flying skills on my own part. I'm just saying if I'm reluctant to do it, I suspect that there would be others who are reluctant to do it in the Cirrus simply because we know that as far as the FAA is concerned, they see the chute as the solution to an inadvertent stall spin. I would rather see skills, pilot skills, as the solution, as we know will occur in any other aircraft that went through actual FAA spin certification. Now, again, I want to say for our readers and our listeners that I know full well that the Cirrus Design Factory does teach stall awareness, spin awareness, and slow flight. And I know from my friends over at Cirrus Owners and Pilots Association that they regularly encourage this kind of training, and that's fine. I'm also suspecting that those that go through the factory training and those that who do ascribe to COPA's philosophical view on this, they are not at any great risk of the accident that we're talking about. But unfortunately, not every Cirrus owner goes through the factory training program, and nor is every Cirrus owner a member of COPA. They're just simply out there afraid to put this airplane into any kind of a regime that might lead to this. Therefore, they are not engaging in any kind of recurrent training that would prevent this form of accident. That's where I believe the problem lies.
Okay, Bob, down to the bottom line then. If someone wants to do some stall awareness, spin awareness, or actual spin training, what would be a good choice for an aircraft? And do you know any particular instructors available for those aircraft that would give you an experience comparable to what you would get in one of these planes?
Yes, the answer is any trained, skilled aerobatic instructor in an aerobatic type aircraft. Now, my friends down at Fighter Combat International, and I think they may have another name down in Mesa, Arizona, they do this kind of training in the Extra 300. I went through the program a number of years ago. It's a wonderful program. If you can find a flight school that operates Cessna 152 or 150 Aerobats, that's a wonderful airplane to do it in. Even the venerable Cessna 172, configured in the utility category, that too is an airplane that you can go through actual spin training in. And I think every pilot should do this, but you know, if I had my wishes, every certificated flight instructor would have to not only be able to demonstrate spin recovery as he has to or she has to for certification purposes, they should go on for a course in aerobatic instruction so that they have a much better appreciation of what this is all about. For my recommendation for Cirrus owners who have not been through the factory training, go there. They offer a wonderful program up in Duluth. Call those folks, go up there, get some factory training. Let their professional instructors take them through. Join COPA. It's a wonderful organization. Talk with those folks as to where to get this kind of training. But don't solve the problem by not engaging in the minimal controllable airspeed or by avoiding any kind of spin awareness training. That's, I believe, in my opinion, is what may have happened to the pilot that we lost last week at Tuscaloosa.
All right. Well, Bob, sorry, our condolences go out to the family and also to the entire Western New York pilot community because it affects everybody when this happens. We appreciate your analysis and your thoughts, and we'll talk to you again next Monday.
Thanks, Paul.
As we mentioned up front, the May edition of Over the Airwaves hit the web yesterday, and you can find it at overtheairwaves.com. While you're there, sign up to get an email letting you know when each new free issue comes out. Bob Miller is also the proprietor of Bob Miller Flight Training at the Buffalo Lancaster Regional Airport in Western New York, which is a Cessna Pilot Center. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.